Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives as usual, Jim. And it seems like a lot of times now here, the good martini seems to be, well, turns out we were right, which is always nice to have. The problem is a lot of bad things happen in order to make us right in some of these cases. And the latest edition of that deals with Benghazi. It's been a slow trickle of information to Congress on this issue in terms of paperwork coming out. The administration, of course, said this is an old story. Everything's been looked at. Well, it turns out that's not the case. New emails are coming in. One of the big emails here that came out as a result of a Freedom of Information request from Judicial Watch is that Ben Rhodes, a White House official whose brother just happens to be a big shot at CBS, let it be known that the narrative of the YouTube video is going to be a big part of Susan Rice's appearance on the Sunday morning chat shows, even though other paperwork has shown us that they realized pretty early on that wasn't the case. So, Jim, not sure if this means any heads will roll here, but ultimately it means that the administration pretty much was up to what we thought they were up to.
It might be premature to say that this is a game changer, because basically we're saying, actually, no, the game was exactly the way we always thought it was. However, there's some very big significance that comes out of this. So first of all, this says that as of September 14th, 3 days after the attack, the White House was saying this to Susan Rice, this guy Ben Rhodes, who's a Obama speechwriter. He also has the title Deputy National Security Advisor, but his entire career history is in the realm of speechwriting on foreign policy stuff. So this is not ex-military guy, ex-intelligence guy, not a Libya expert. This is a political guy saying one of the four goals of the White House message was to stress, quote, these protests are rooted in an internet video and not a broader failure of policy. He was in no place to know that. That was just the message he wanted to be true, because by then, the deputy U.S. chief of mission in Libya had said it was a terror attack. The CIA station chief had said it was a terror attack. And the Tunisian president had said it was a terror attack. No one was talking about the video. The entire line from the administration through all this is like, look, our talking points came from the intelligence community. We were just repeating the best intelligence we had. And now we're saying, no, no, that's not the case. It was coming from the White House to tell Rice what to do this stuff. As Eli Lake puts it in the Daily Beast very clearly, the Rhodes email offers the clearest evidence to date that the talking points read by Susan Rice 2 days later on Sunday talk shows were indeed directed by the White House. Now, what Eli Lake adds this morning is that this email only went to the House Committee on Oversight Government Reform 2 weeks ago, even though they've been asking for all documents related to Benghazi for a really long time. There was some initial discussion of this on CNN today that is somewhat encouraging, in which, you know, Ron Fournier, formerly of AP, now with National Journal, John King of CNN are realizing, oh, wait a minute, the administration lied about this. They said they turned over all the relevant documents, and they hadn't. And this video, they lied about turning over the documents. They lied about it being related to a video. They lied about you like a plan, you keep your plan. They lied about all kinds of stuff. And so the administration cannot be given the benefit of the doubt on this. And so all this, you know, this is not crazy conspiracy talk for Republicans. There clearly was a White House cover-up of their messaging on Benghazi and what explanation they put forth to the country about why this happened. This is a big deal. So hopefully this will relight the fires. Sometimes, you know, as you said, it's frustrating to be told much, much later. You know, congressional Democrats are calling for an end to the Benghazi investigation, and we're still finding very important things like this email saying, oh, by the way, we need to convince people this is all about a video, when in fact there was no evidence it was about a video.
Kudos to CBS. I heard CBS Radio this morning. They not only pointed this out, but mentioned that Ben Rhodes was the brother of a big shot at CBS News. So it is getting some attention in the mainstream media. The question is, Jim, will it have legs in the mainstream media, especially given that the Sterling story and everything else has gathered a lot of oxygen this week? We've had major tornadoes and everything else. So it's fighting for attention, even if it does actually get some coverage from the mainstream press.
Here's the one thing sort of going for us on this is that you have remember Jonathan Carl and his emails talking about the alterations of all that stuff. Cheryl Atkinson. There were quite a few folks who for a while were really Jake Tapper, you know, were digging into this. And then the White House kept insisting there's nothing there, there's nothing there. And they just kind of let it, you know, it die off. And so if Carl, Atkinson, Tapper, these folks kind of realize that, look, you know, get back on the trail, guys. There's more stories to be told here.
All right. On to martini number two now. And steady as she goes, months and months and months of job growth. That's what we keep hearing from the administration. Turns out that the economy is pretty much stagnant. 0.1% growth in the first quarter of 2014. A lot of bad numbers in here all across the board. Jim, the country's total output was well below the 1.1% economists had expected. Business investment fell at a 2.1% rate. Residential construction fell at a 5.7% rate. But spending on health care grew at an astounding 9.9%, the biggest change in health care spending since 1980. And if the health care spending, as a result of Obamacare, hadn't been jacked up, the GDP would have actually shrunk by 1%. So clearly, as we mentioned yesterday, the Americans are clued in to the idea that the economy is not getting better. And this is just further proof that any efforts to improve the economy over the last 5.5 years have been a failure.
Yeah, this was a big flashing red warning sign in the markets and on Wall Street today. You can say, well, at least we weren't losing ground. And you point out that without healthcare spending, we would have. Remember, these numbers get revised. We know that it's not going to be a good number. The question is whether it's going to be a, you know, pretty bad number or a, you know, if let's say it gets revised up 0.5 point or something, or maybe revisions will take it down another 0.5% and we'll actually have had a shrinking economy over the first 3 months of this year. Very bad news. Now, the administration is saying, well, look, think about all that snow we had this winter. Okay, winter will slow down some economic activity and things like that. It's hard to believe that it would single-handedly wipe out several percentage points worth of economic growth. And on that 9.9 figure you point to, look, if this is people who couldn't afford health care before and weren't getting health care or getting health care, then maybe it's a good thing. But this giant, this big jump isn't necessarily an improvement. It could be people who always had insurance now paying more for their insurance and now paying more for the health care that they're getting because of all the new regulations and requirements of Obamacare. We're going to have to see how this plays out. But this, you know, could very well be just more people paying more for treatment that they don't think is all that much better. And that's not a good thing for our economy, even if it's, you know, keeping us out of recession land. Was there a whole lot of talk, Greg, about Obamacare was going to bend the cost curve down?
Oh, of course.
Well, a 9.9% jump, that's not really curving it down now, is it? You hold the line differently or something. But no, it's a big jump, which is not necessarily good news for us, since the whole point of this was to get costs under control.
All right, on to the crazy martini now, Jim. And this one's a little bit off the beaten path of national politics, but involves Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and to some extent, Russellville, Arkansas. Derek and Danita Willis of Russellville, Arkansas, pleaded guilty on Tuesday to taking part in a scheme between January of 2006 and January 2012 that defrauded the city of Philadelphia of more than $1 million. The couple pleaded guilty to 5 counts of mail fraud, obstruction of justice for the destruction of documents related to the fraud scheme, and perjury for knowingly making false statements to the grand jury. The Willises owned Laser Cartridge Plus, a business located in Russellville. They were contacted by Calvin Duncan, who at the time worked for the Philadelphia Water Department as a mailroom clerk. As part of his responsibilities, Duncan was responsible for mail deliveries and purchasing supplies, including printer ink and toner cartridges, for the administrative offices of the Philadelphia Water Department. Duncan submitted requests for approval to purchase printer ink and toner cartridges, falsely claiming that the cartridges were for PWD employees. After receiving the printer ink and toner cartridges from the approved vendors at the City of Philadelphia's expense, Duncan sold the printer ink and toner cartridges to Laser Cartridge Plus at prices significantly lower than those usually charged by ink and toner cartridge vendors. The scheme caused the City of Philadelphia to pay approximately $1.368 million on purchase orders and shipping costs for printer ink and toner cartridges never intended to be used by Philadelphia Water Department employees. So, Jim, it's good to see that massive corruption is not only running rampant at the federal level.
No, it is. We always talk about the importance of emphasizing state and local government. But it's good to see state and local government getting involved in new innovative ways to bilk the taxpayers. Yeah, I have a piece on Campaign Spot today. I plan on doing every once in a while kind of just roundups of federal government incompetence and bureaucracy, runaway regulations, fraud, problems like that. This is all part of the promotion for the Weed Agency, available to find bookstores everywhere coming June 3rd. Just want to sneak that in there, Greg.
Oh, sure.
The entire month of June, I'll just be mentioning it, but like I have Tourette's syndrome. You know, Weed Agency, buy it. Weed Agency, buy it. I thought I had a good collection, but then this morning I come across this story. Think about it. This is you know, really innovative. $1.3 million bilked out of Philadelphia over toner, you know, and printer ink and stuff. It's kind of astounding, although somebody would point out to me that cost per ounce or cost per amount, it's more expensive than gas and it's more expensive than most fine wines. So in fact, your toner ink is actually pretty darn expensive compared to any other substance in your house. I do have to admit, I'm glad the government really is coming down hard on these folks. I don't know if you noticed there. Derek Willis faces a maximum possible sentence of 120 years in prison.
That's pretty good.
And a maximum fine of $2.25 million. And I got to say, that's, I kind of like that coming down on them like a ton of bricks. You know, who knew that black market, black ink could be such a lucrative and big business that would end up bilking taxpayers?
I think you've got material for the Weed Agency, too, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's make it a bestseller in the first.
I'm just hoping all these indictments were e-filed.
Oh, very good. We can't make this stuff up. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.